eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Giller. This is Mock Draft 4.0. The final one.
The final countdown.
And so Steve's going to be a three-round mock with a trade to get a third-round pick. So just to get three picks on the table, because we can at least talk about some guys we haven't talked about previously. So let's do that. I'm going to share my screen. Give me a second.
Yeah, like I said to you when we first got on this off cam, the one annoying, aggravating thing dealing with these mock simulations,
that's weird.
In particular here with PFF, the descent of Jaden Daniels on this particular mock draft to me is ludicrous considering where you see he ends up.
Yes, I agree with you. And so, yeah, you whatever, I don't know, maybe you set your PFF settings here a little weird. Did you just do the standard ones?
Yeah, the only thing I adjusted was the time, the speed of the draft, because I didn't want it whipping by me.
It just seems like for whatever reason, whenever you do your mocks, you get some off the wall picks.
Jaden
but,
Ball.
You know, I think a lot of times we kind of fall into the trap of assuming that the way that the mock draft board is set is kind of is actually like how it's going to go. And a lot of times it's not. Like, I do think the Patriots are a bit of a wild card at number three. Most likely they pick a quarterback, but hey, what if they don't? And it would throw everything a little into flux. And so we can go through it again. Pro Football Focus Simulator is what we used. So anything that's not a Saints pick, you can blame them. Like, we don't make those decisions. We just go on the board. And a lot of times I do. I like it when the board is a little weird because it forces you to kind of think about what would happen. That's the idea, right? That's the whole point of doing these, is so you can say, well, this happened. So what do we do?
Right.
And so let's just go through the first few picks. Number one, Caleb Williams to the Bears. Obviously, Drake May, number two to the Commanders. Then that's where it gets weird. Not only does Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy not go number three, you don't see them for a good bit.
Even with number six, the Giants going corner, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. And it's like, okay, maybe they figured out no one went to his birthday party, right? Maybe that's what happened. That's that draft day reference that everyone. Yeah. I don't know. Do people like that movie? I think it's dumb.
I think it's, yeah, I'm not a big fan. I kind of laugh at everything with it. And it's maybe a bad movie that can be laughable and funny to watch, but yeah, not anything that I'm tuning into. If it pops on one of the channels, I might leave it on, kind of thing.
Well, so the funniest part of that movie to me, and this is obviously an aside, but like the whole premise of, so Kevin Costner is the Browns GM,
right?
And he's talking to the Seahawks general manager, And the Seahawks general manager is like talking all this shit, and he's like super cocky and arrogant. And it's like, you're picking number one in the draft. You were the worst team in the NFL last year. Why are you like this? You should be worried for your job. What is this? Like, why are we acting like the movie sets it up as if the Seahawks general manager is like the seasoned pro who everyone respects. Like, you're picking first overall. Your team was terrible. Maybe they're in the situation the Bears are in. I don't know. Either way. So pick number three, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. I would be stunned if the Patriots went wide receiver here. I think if you don't go quarterback, if you're the Patriots, you'd trade. Now, This is not a mock where the computer teams are going to trade with each other. So maybe that's kind of what it's signaling, is they don't want the quarterback in that trade. Cause I just think, like, if you're the Giants, right, or somebody that's quarterback needy, and the Patriots are signaling that we're not going to go quarterback at number three, that's just a signal that you want to get in there. But either way, let's get so we can talk about the Saints pick a little bit more. Let's kind of run through these. Malik Nabers, number four to the Cardinals. Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame, number five to the Chargers. And like you said, you're still not getting a quarterback.
I would thought Atlanta would have grabbed Jaden even.
Yeah, right. It's nonsensical that this has happened the way it has. Rome Odunze, number seven to the Titans. Then Falcons, like you mentioned, Leitu Latu at number eight. Johnny Newton, number nine to the Bears. So the Bears have gotten the quarterback and defensive tackle. Number 10, again, you're looking at, this is a team that's quarterback needy. Why aren't they going, like, Aaron Rodgers is great. Yeah, sure. But he's, how many years are you going to get out of him? One, probably, maybe two. So Jets are going Quinyon Mitchell, though. quarterback out of Toledo. Vikings.
And take, another QB needy team.
Yeah. Vikings take Taliese Fuanga at number 11. if Jaden Daniels got here, there's absolutely no way. It's like PFF is like conspiring with Jayden. The Broncos.
Right?
It's like PFF was like, the Broncos really need a guy, and we really
want to help him out.
Because this is where he goes, number 12 to Broncos. Sean Payton gets his quarterback. If this is what happened, Broncos fans would be ecstatic for good reason.
And I guarantee Chief Sean with a big old grin too.
Yeah, right. And so number 13, Brock Bowers. So that takes that question off the table. We don't have to talk about that. But J.J. McCarthy is on the board. So if the Saints really love J.J. McCarthy, who, again, I don't think is a great option, but if they did, he's there. But that's not who you went with. Pick number 14. Who'd you get?
I ended up going the boring route with everybody was, you know, picking with Olu Fashanu, taking him off the board. I was really tempted, but going with Dallas Turner in this spot. But I ended up going with, to me, the biggest need on the team still at offensive line. There were still, you know, a few names on the board too. And I just want to shore up that position really well for this team. And I think Fashanu will come in right away, be a contributor. And I we'll see pretty soon. I'm not done either with offensive line.
Yeah, it's hard for me. So you look at Dallas Turner, right, that's sitting there. And man, that's a tough one to pass up. I don't know why he would fall this far. I'd be surprised if he was on the board when the Saints picked. But you know, edge rusher is, you know, as big of a need left as left tackle is, edge rusher is right there. And if you have a, like, this is one of those situations where how high is your grade on Dallas Turner, right? Because if you have a top end first round grade, like a tier one grade on Dallas Turner, you're not passing on him just because you need a left tackle or a tackle. That's not how good teams draft. And I don't think it's how the Saints would draft. That said, they could have a high grade on Olu and you're like, whatever, we're going to still go with this because it makes sense. I think
what really factored into me too, honestly, I thought about, all right, you're trying to get something out of Peyton Turner, still a young guy at the position that you have on the roster. Hopefully he can make some kind of jump this year. You did also sign a Chase Young in this spot too. So I definitely was swayed more towards the offensive tackle here.
You definitely have the numbers at edge rusher to feel a little more comfortable. I don't think you have the number. Like, people are still saying, oh, move Trevor Penning to guard, right? I keep seeing people say that. And like, I get why you're saying that.
Easy, right?
Well, it's sure. Erase that part of it. Erase that part of the equation. Just look at the numbers. right? Just think like, okay, move Trevor Penning to guard, but then who are your tackles? Like at a certain point, you just need bodies at the position to develop. And so if you move Trevor Penning to guard, even if you take, so your options are a hurt Ryan Ramczyk, Landon Young, Oli Udo, and then Olu Fashanu. That would be kind of funny if your left tackle depth chart was
right.
Oli and Olu. But yeah, I just like at this point, you're keeping him at left tackle because you just need numbers at left tackle, right? So like, it's not like there's a really an incentive to do it. And I just don't think the Saints are going to even entertain that this year because they're going to want to keep him at his natural position, the one he's played at his whole career. I don't think you could go wrong with a tackle in this spot.
I was going to say a little interesting too right now. What's his name? Andres Pete still hasn't been signed.
Still
a possibility to come back, although it kind of feels like the Saints might have, you know, they might have it where they're ready to move on from him.
Well, it starts to make you wonder if there's something going on medically that has not been disclosed because he visited the Titans too, right? So, if he's having trouble passing a physical, a lot of times these guys play through injuries that you don't even know about. Like, look at Chase Young, right? Like, people knew he had a neck issue, but I don't think anyone knew he had to have surgery, or at least not publicly. And then, okay, well, this is an issue that someone's going to have to get past to sign a guy. And, you know, so that could be happening. Either way, he's going to be an option for the Saints if they get to the end of this process and feel like they need another body. I also look at a guy like Trey Turner and say, like, okay, is he going to come back, you know, at guard?
That's a great call there because that's a name, yeah, nobody's brought up at all. I know he's obviously up there in years, but it'll be interesting to see if, yeah, he has anything left to give to this team.
And from a health perspective, his injury sucks, but it did happen at an optimal time for him to be ready for this season.
Right.
Right. Like Nephi Sewell, for instance, blew out his knee in week 17. That's brutal for multiple reasons. One, because it's a brutal injury and it's really difficult to come back from. But two, your timeline is really compressed to even get back for this season at all, let alone training camp. Like, he's not going to be ready for training camp. Whereas Trey, you know, he's had all, you know, basically a full year to rehab. So who knows? But either way, let's keep moving on. Troy Fatanu is another guy, 17 to the Jaguars, and J.C. Latham at number 18. I could see either of those guys being the pick for the Saints. The interesting thing is there's four tackles that you really look at. Two of them are left tackles, two of them are right tackles, where Fashanu are left tackle prospects. Taliesi Fuanga, J.C. Latham are right tackle prospects. So if you feel like one of those is higher on your list than the other, and personally, right tackle's higher on my list, that could impact where you're going. All right. Next up, so J.J. McCarthy finally goes off the board. I say finally, but this is where, if you had told me this at the beginning of the draft process, I would have been like, wow, what a reach. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy goes off at number 19 to the Rams, then Terrion Arnold to the Steelers, cornerback at Alabama at 20, Jared Verse to the Dolphins at 21, Brian Thomas to the Eagles at 22. Michael Penix goes to the Vikings at 23. So they didn't want Jaden Daniels, but they come up here and they draft Michael Penix in the first round. So, hey, you know, if they really like Michael Penix, maybe that's the answer, is they were like, well, we don't need to spend this high pick on Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy because the guy we want is going to be there at 23.
Yeah, just one of those, I guess you could look at it as, oh, the Vikings got their man anyway in the end.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Right. So then you have Amarius Mims going off to the Cowboys at 24. This is why when I look at the odds and I see Amarius Mims on there, those odds to me indicate you're betting on a trade.
Right.
Because I think 14 would be way too high for Amarius Mims just because he's only played 8 games in college. Like, there's going to have to be development there at the base level. And you have a bunch of options at 14 that aren't as much of a project. So I don't know. Nate Wiggins to the Packers at 25. Jackson Powers Johnson, the first interior lineman, to the Bucks at 26. That would make sense considering the state of their offensive line. Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver a lot of people like, goes to the Cardinals. So they have taken Malik Nabers and Adonai Mitchell. So Kyler Murray gets his weapons. Troy Franklin out of Oregon goes to the Bills. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback at Alabama, to the Lions. Ladd McConkey. So a lot of wide receivers coming off. He goes to the Lions, or he goes to the Ravens at 30. Then Graham Barton out of Duke, the last offensive lineman of the first round. Adisa Isaac, edge rusher out of Penn State. Not a very popular name, but the Chiefs tend to do that. The Chiefs love to take kind of an off-the-wall guy with that 32nd overall pick. They did it with Clyde a couple years ago.
Yeah, and he hasn't really, you know, done much in the NFL yet. Just kind of been ho-hum.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that has panned out to be a particularly good pick.
No.
But okay, so we'll go through 45. We'll go through the names up to 45, and then we'll kind of skip around. So Mike Sanristil, Bo Nix, Peyton Wilson, Jordan Morgan, Tyler Newbin, first safety off the board. He goes to the Chargers at 37. Zach Frazier, a center, goes to the Titans at 38. Keon Coleman, a name that should be interesting for the Saints at 45, goes to the Panthers at 39. Then Chop Robinson, another guy that I think the Saints are going to be in on. Braden Fisk, who was your pick in the last mock draft. He's off the board, so he cannot be your pick now. Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington, goes to the Texans at 42. Then this is a kind of a run on wide receivers right before the Saints get on the board. Ricky Pearsall out of Florida goes to the Falcons. And Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan, goes to the Raiders. And so who's your guy here?
Yeah, you mentioned that little run on wide receivers. So I was definitely thinking about good old Xavier Leggett, who the Giants end up scooping up at 47. But with pick 45, I went right back to offensive tackle. I got the left side, and I figured, all right, let's shore up the right side now with a guy like Tyler Guyton, bring him in just for the amount of reasons we've talked about their issues and questions on that offensive line, just looking to bring some fresh new blood into that mix.
And that's great value. If Tyler Guyton's on the board at 45.
Right, that was another one. I was like, damn, I can't pass him up.
He was my first round pick in the last mock.
Right, so there you go.
I think I traded back to 24 with the Cowboys. So, I mean, I don't know why he'd be on the board at 45, but if he was and you have a high grade on him, yeah, this is a no-brainer pick. And I've said this a few times. I would not be stunned or upset in any way if they went tackle-tackle. Because the depth, I mean, you've allowed it to get to the state that it is. There's no harm in just doing it in one year, you know, and you will end up having a really young tackle room, and those guys are going to have to develop alongside each other. And maybe that's difficult. Maybe there's only so much coaching bandwidth that can happen in any particular season. But it does, I mean, but you can look at it two ways. One, there's, you know, coaching might be spread a little thin, but you have two young guys who can kind of learn and build together. And then hopefully they are taking over your tackle spot in a year. And they're this really great tandem that can be there for however long, right? So I don't hate it.
Yeah, the availability of Guyton at the spot definitely made it a lot easier for me to pull off that tackle-tackle combo in this particular draft. I was also considering Bullard at safety, who also went a couple picks later to the Bengals.
Yeah, a couple of interesting names that were still on the board. Leggett, obviously, I really like him. It would be tough for me to get, you know, the value of Tyler Guyton is obviously high, right?
Yeah.
And I picked him in the first round of my last mock, so I'd be crazy to not take him here if he got there. That said, like, Xavier Leggett is a guy that I would love at 45. As you mentioned, Javon Bullard, another safety. You know, Mike D'Atelier went through his safety rankings. They're up on WWL.com. But like, so there's no first round safeties in this draft. But that doesn't mean there aren't good safeties in this draft. It's just, again, it's one of those positions that the value does not indicate you should reach for a guy in the first round. But there's some really quality safety options in the second and third round. Javon Bullard is one of those guys. Tyler Newbin is another one of those guys. So it definitely could be somewhere the Saints look. There's Jonah Ellis going off at 51. Cade,
I was going to say, too, for whatever reason, when I do these mocks, TJ Tampa's always seems to be a name that's around for me.
Yeah, he's tough. I have a hard time grading him. I just don't see the Saints drafting a corner unless it's a slot corner.
Right, exactly.
Option, and I don't think that he's a top end slot corner option, even though he has a catchy name that feels like he should be a slot corner. Keep going down here. Blake Corum, halfback out of Michigan. That's way too high for him. Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. So you see a quick little run on running backs there. Malachi Corley, interesting guy to Western Kentucky. Why don't you tell me what your trade is before we go any further?
My trade, I ended up packaging together the Saints third round pick from next year, along with the 3 5th round selections and a 6th rounder this year. So that's 3 5s, a 6, and next year's third for pick number 72 overall.
Okay. So you got a pretty high third rounder. So that's reasonable, but you gave up a lot because you gave up next year's third rounder.
I tried to pull it off, giving up a fourth. The PFF would not do it, and I wasn't going to be, you know, the Madden video game enforce the trade kind of thing.
Yeah, it's tough to justify if you're giving up that third rounder, but you are getting a top end third rounder, right? You're getting the 7th pick of the third round, so you know, even if the Saints are bad next year, like they shouldn't be top 10 pick bad, right? And even if they are, you're really like the only way you lose value there is, at least on the third rounder, is if the Saints end up being a top 7 draft pick, which even if they underperform and play badly, they should win 7 games. So that kind of takes you out of that range. So I don't hate the idea of doing that. And I do think this is a pretty deep draft through the 3rd and 4th round. I don't know if it's a deep draft through the 7th round, right? Like it's a deep class, but it doesn't get to day 3 feeling incredibly deep. So I think that their hit rate in the 3rd round is something that you should take advantage of. So let's see. Darius Robinson gets all the way to 66. It's kind of like he was an early darling, and it feels like the interest level has kind of waned on him. I still think he's a top-end talent. So I would be very surprised if he got here. But either way, he's off the board before you go. Marshawn Nyland is a guy who visited the Saints. He would be, if he was on there at 72, that would be interesting. Brandon Coleman, not the Brandon Coleman, but a Brandon Coleman, goes off 1 pick before the Saints. He's a tackle at a TCU. And then tell me about your guy, Ruke.
I looked at the big board and said, what is the most difficult name left that I could select to mess things up?
Did you look up how to say it?
Yeah, the R's are silent. I mean, the H's are silent. Sorry.
Aurora?
Yeah, right. It sounds like you're like Astro from the Jetsons. Aurora.
Yeah. yeah, that's a tough one. Ruke Aurora. Yeah, I mean, defensive tackle, it's one of those positions that you never go wrong. But yeah, you went with 3 tackles. You went with 2 offensive tackles and a defensive tackle.
Trench heavy this draft for sure. A guy that he grew up in Nigeria. We've seen Saints, you know, taking guys that have been introduced to the game a little later in their life than maybe some of the others. Also have some history last year taking someone from the Clemson D-line that worked out pretty well. So Ruke is the latest, and I think can be, you know, that run stuffer right away from you. Definitely needs some work on his pass rushing skills.
Yeah, that's true. He would have been teammates with Brian Brzee at Clemson, so there's some familiarity there. I have often kind of found myself going down the rabbit hole of like, how often do teams go back to the same well? And I do think it does happen because, you know, it just kind of common sense would dictate that, hey, we spent all last offseason talking to his defensive line coaches and kind of getting that. There hasn't been a ton of turnover with Clemson, so all those coaches talked to him again. You know, they're going to try to sell their guy, and you trust them because they gave you a good read on Brian Brzee last year. So why would you doubt them this time? And so I think that's a decent little option there. Ruke Aurora. I hope they make this pick just because I want to hear Bobby try to pronounce this name.
No Bobby this year.
No, I understand, but he will eventually.
I got you.
He will have to try to pronounce this name. And I think that would be hilarious to.
Yeah, when he gets back from Bo's wedding, we'll get him on definitely for a post-draft show.
We can't tell him how to say it. We just need to get him to tell us how you think this name is said.
Oh, he's just going to say, I'm just going to call him Ruke.
He's going to call him like ho-ho-ho. yeah. And yeah, so a couple names that came off after Blake Fisher.
That's what happened for making fun of Bobby.
Javon Baker, wide receiver, goes to the Falcons. So they get a couple wide receivers here. Central Florida, fighting Traquan Smiths. Devontae Walker goes to the Broncos. So they get Jaden Daniels and probably the fastest, maybe not the fastest, but a very fast wide receiver. Spencer Rattler to the Raiders. Johnny Wilson, a guy I picked in the last mock, goes to the Falcons. They got a lot of pass catchers. Jalex Hunt out of Houston Christian. That's a fun name. And yeah, Trey Benson's the last pick of the third round. Oh, no, he's not the last pick of the third round, but he is 85th to the Browns. I think, you know, running back is an interesting option for me. It's one that no one's really talking about, but I do think it's a bigger need than a lot of people are giving it, just because you have bodies in there this year, but how far do you expect to go with Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams? Probably this would be his last year with the Saints if he makes the roster at all. So I don't think it would be unwise at all to stock up at the running back position in the mid rounds here.
No, and I think we've mentioned it. Obviously, I think both of us are on the same page where we still believe in a Kendre Miller, but I wouldn't be opposed to them adding more depth to that running back room either, just because we don't know. Like you said, will AK be back? And then obviously with Jamal Williams, he's, you know, 31, 32-year-old guy. Who knows what happens next season?
Yeah, and it's not about Kendre. It's about you need more than one running back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you went out and drafted Kendre and signed Jamal. Like, it's you can believe in Kendre and still feel like you need to add young bodies in that running back room, because next year it's not out of the realm of possibility that the running back room is Kendre Miller and whoever you draft this year.
Yeah.
I still think Alvin is playing at a high enough level that you could see him coming back next year, but it's not a given. Busy out at Talladega this weekend. But all right, let's wrap that up. This is
real quick. Number 94, Michael Pratt going to the Niners.
Yes. Mr. Pratt is off the board.
Ready to learn from Brock Purdy now.
Yes, and let's remind everyone who Steve picked.
Dun, 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 dun. A name that everyone will look at and be like, how the heck am I supposed to say that?
And yeah, so it was Olufoshanu at number 14. It was Tyler Guyton at number 30 or at number 45. And then it was Rook Arororo at number 72. Also, that was a trade. You gave up all three fifth rounders, number 190, and then next year's third to get number 72 to make that pick.
Pretty steep price.
And PFF liked it. So good for you.
Yeah, but we know just because PFF likes it, don't mean it means crap.
Yeah, I mean, all it means is you took guys a couple picks prior to their value on the PFF.
And we mentioned this too, and obviously our breakdown, seeing Guyton fall, that seemed like, oh my God, I have to go tackle here.
Yeah, PFF forced you to make that pick. They're like, we'll give you an A+ if you make this pick.
Sold.
But all right, this is Inside Black and Gold. We'll be coming back one more mock draft. It's mine. It's going to be 7 rounds, so we'll fly through it. Don't worry. This is Inside Black and Gold. Stick around.